Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, this is prime time right here on Money FM 89.3. Well, as society evolves, the role and expectations of a CEO are changing too. I mean, potential CEOs are expected to have led a top-line growth and cut costs like traditional CEOs, while also being able to think and plan digitally about the business, leading the transformative change required as expectations for delivering new products and services quickly ramp up. But with the continuation of disruptive change across the different sectors, it is necessary for traditional industry leading companies and their challenges to adapt to and leverage these ongoing shifts. But along with new organizational structures are an additional area that CEOs are expected to cover. Well, we're joined by Alain Denault, Regional Managing Partner, CEO and Board Practice Lead, Hendrik in Struggles, to tell us more. Alain, welcome to the show. As we're faced with uncertainties in 2020, what are local and international companies seeking in a CEO?
Good afternoon. You are right. I mean, you know that we are more and more living in a very uncertain world, and the company are threatened more and more by new market condition, market volatility, and changing consumer demand. And in that context, I mean, it's very important to have the right CEO at the right time. So as a result, this CEO facing a dual challenge. The first one is to protect the existing business because it has to be done. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they have to reinvent their business model and find new engine for growth. And this for them is quite difficult to find two in the same CEO. Mm-hmm. That's why we place a premium in CEO who can make sense of changes, who can mobilize, execute, transform the company with agility, which is one of the key words, and of course, digital readiness.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the primary considerations in CEO selection?
The role of the CEO is crucial. So the shareholders and the board of directors now understood that very well. As a result, they have, I mean, been working a lot on having a very strong succession, CEO succession planning and processes. So not only they would provide us or internally a strong job description that will check all the past expertise and experience, but they will, and this would be the primary concern, they want to understand now, and this is new, how the next CEO think, lead, and succeed.
And do you want to comment a bit about the hiring trends of chief executive officers today?
So as we discussed earlier, I mean, the world is changing very quickly with a cohort of technological innovation and more global. So the finding of our survey, the 2019 Road to the Top survey, shows very clearly that the new generation of CEO would be extremely international, but international as in also multicultural. Mm-hmm. Understanding of the local culture, which is different from international. Probably they would have, most of them, a cross-border experience. So they would have been leading and living abroad. Most of them would be also, would have a higher education. They would have probably, I mean, I think 70% of them would come from the C-suite, so they would have a C-suite experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, they would be strong in technology, so they would be technology literate.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, Alain, because elaborate for us the differences between today's newly appointed CEOs compared to their veteran counterparts.
Yeah. So in our survey, so to make clear for your auditors, I mean, veterans means CEO who have been appointed more than 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So the survey is very, very interesting to that respect, that we have seen very clear trend when we compare the new CEO with the veterans. Five points. They are more diverse.
Diverse.
So diversity, gender diversity, double. Mm-hmm. It's still not very good, from 4 to 9%. Mm-hmm. Okay, not very good, but it has doubled. National, so non-national CEO, this is a strong diversity. So jump from 15 to 20%, which is quite interesting. Another point would be they are much more coming from the C-suite. Ah. So before, I mean, we had a lot of entrepreneurs. especially in Asia. Mm-hmm. Today, 73% of all newly appointed CEO have a background in the C-suite.
Meaning they have taken the roles of a C-suite elsewhere before.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or within. Mm-hmm. We may come right to that point, but okay. I mean, most of them, three quarter would come from the C-suite.
Okay.
Compared to 40% before, because 60% before were more coming from the entrepreneurship world. Mm-hmm. They are older. They are much older. Mm-hmm. I mean, the veterans would become CEO at the age of 39, mm-hmm. and today it's 52.
Mm.
So it's a big jump.
Mm.
So if you want to summarize, CEO are better educated, mm-hmm. more international, they're older, more experienced, and coming more from the C-suite.
Mm, interesting. Well, let's talk about gender diversity you mentioned a little bit. This is especially on boards. I mean, gender diversity on boards is an issue that we talked about here in Singapore often as well. How does Singapore fare against other countries? And what more do you think can be done?
Singapore, I would say, is doing well, but should do better. The objective in Singapore was to reach 20% diversity at board level, 20% gender diversity in 2020. Today, as we talk, it's somewhere around 18%, so I'm very confident that Singapore will get the 20%. However, the next objective is to reach 30% in 2030, which I think, I mean, Singapore must be more ambitious. I mean, the global average is a bit more than 20%, but countries like the Nordic countries in Europe, France, for example, I mean, we have reached 40%. Mm. So I think that Singapore should reach 40%.
Okay.
That would be a good objective. Because you have the good pool of candidates, you have a lot of extremely well-educated and successful executive women.
Mm-hmm.
So they are ready to take over roles at the board level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we also talked about this a while ago about internal appointment of CEO. Can you talk us through about the advantages and the disadvantages of an internal appointment of a CEO?
Interesting question. First, I will give you the trend. The trend is, so 15 years ago, only 40% of the CEO would have been appointed from within.
Mm.
Today, it's 75%, so a big jump of internal. Two reasons to answer your question. The first one is, as we said earlier, the board is now well aware of the importance.
Mm.
And now they would screen internally the potential candidate and they would train them to become CEO. So there's a better pool of internal candidates. That's one. But the other one has to do with the fact that when you hire a CEO outside, you must have a good reason. A big acquisition, a big change, something big should have happened, digital transformation, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot replace the cultural fit within the company. So internal candidate, most of the time, of course, would have this internal cultural fit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously the debate is still out there, whether it's an internal promotion, it's a better choice, or really have to look for an external CEO, so to speak. I mean, in what situation is it ideal to appoint internally, and when is it not?
Okay, so internal, as we said, would have the cultural fit. Mm. So that would tick a big, big box.
Right.
Okay, so if your business is more or less in a stable environment, your core business, probably better to hire internally. You need to have a good reason to hire externally. Unfortunately, most of the time, and this is my job today, mm-hmm. When you hire externally, it's because you have no one internally. I mean, most of the company would start looking internally.
As a first option.
As a first option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but sometimes you don't have anybody ready to take over the big job. Therefore, you would go externally. Or you go directly externally if you have, as I said, big acquisition, a big digital transformation going on. So you need fresh idea, you need new blood.
Mm-hmm. And tell us as well, what are some of the common problems that these CEOs face every day?
Yeah. CEO, I mean, today they have a lot on their plate, okay? Referring to your first question about the world which is changing, change is the new normal now. And today, I mean, I would give you some additional concerns that the CEO are facing today, which are very common. Sustainability.
Mm.
15 years ago, it was maybe we're talking about the plastic bag, but today sustainability is a very hot topic.
It's a big word.
It's a big word. And CEOs, most of them were not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
They're still not quite prepared.
Mm-hmm.
diversity. It's a bit an older stuff, I mean, older concern topic, but nevertheless, there's much more pressure. Digital transformation, of course, I mean, every business is transformed, is aggressed, threatened by the digital transformation. You have the relationship with the chair, with the board, which it happened in the past, but today it has become more and more important.
And how has empathy in CEOs evolved over the years?
So that's a very, I mean, that's interesting. Empathy, I mean, most of the CEOs would not even know the name 15 years ago. Okay, right. So empathy today has become key. Why? Because empathy is the key to be a strong leader.
Yeah.
So leadership skills and communication skills. And today, if you are a strong leader, you can attract, retain, and lead the best team. But because of this new constraint, sustainability, for example, you have to deal with a lot of external stakeholders. Therefore, communication skills today has become very important. And empathy is one of the basic characteristics.
Well, based on the Route to Top 20 report, what are some of the critical differences among the 906 CEOs of the companies listed in the report?
You're right, 906. The differences would not come country by country. The major differences would come depending on the sector of origin. And I divide in three buckets. The CEO, the first bucket would be CEO coming from the process industry, so oil and gas would be the champion. This guy, the CEO, would be very strong in long-term strategic thinking and long-term financial risk analysis, because they invest in a plant in the middle of nowhere, billions, so they need to understand what's going on in 30 years. Then you would have the manufacturing sector, the automotive, for example. CEO would be very strong in process and cost management. And the last bucket would be the service industry, where you would find the best people manager, the best leader, because, of course, they have to deal with people. So that would be, I mean, what we have seen through this survey.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking to Alain Dignol, Regional Managing Partner, CEO, and a Board Practice Lead over at Hendrick and Struggles, Radio Money FM 89.3. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.